Romans 12, genuine church, glorious church, everybody tracking? We've spent enough time here, right? But it doesn't mean that it's good or bad, all right? Again, so time itself will not produce. Okay? You need the right conditions, right? As you sow the seed of God's word, it needs the right conditions. It needs a good heart. Needs warmth, needs water. Okay, and then the scriptures say, and how does it grow? Well, because God put it in there that way. Romans 12 will bring forth fruit. It will. And it is. And we wrap up tonight. 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. So as we've done this study, and I remind you that I stumbled across the word genuine, and I looked up where it came from. And the word genuine means that it is from the one from whom it was given. So it's Jesus' church, so we're supposed to be of Jesus. What a great idea. That the church of Jesus would be a lot like Jesus. Well, when we got saved, I don't know how you were, I was not a lot like Jesus. In fact, I don't think any of you were a lot like Jesus when he saved you, because he saves sinners. And then he puts his life into us. He forms Christ into us by this new birth, born from above, spiritual life. Christ formed in you by the gospel, believing, receiving. We come to this place, and again, to me, I don't want this to be like this is the one thing we need to do, because it's not. All the things we've been learning, you think about how to live for Christ in daily life, we're taking a chapter here that's talking with us about how a church, how Jesus' church, how the spiritual body is one. And that's what our focus is. We're not studying and focusing on how you're to be as a worker or a husband or a wife or, again, father, mother, any of that. We're talking about how the church is. Now, you'll notice that as we've studied this, the last 3 weeks, it's all themed the same. In other words, it's a 3-hour Bible study. Okay? So it's, once again tonight, church with and without. If you remember that understanding, if I say whiz without, right? You, church with, church without. Church with and without. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, we take up this same theme as we study. So it's this, church with the same mind, one toward another. Now, first thing I'll say is this, this is reciprocal. We've looked at that phrase, one to another. It's not enough for one of us to say, well, I am minded toward one another in the body of Christ. I have set my affections. I have set my mind. My phroneo, if you will, as we've studied this out. In the context here, this is church with the same mind together, towards each other, with one another, reciprocal, minded the same, if you will. So this is a verb, and again, so it's nominative, meaning it's an object of the preposition. And in this genuine, glorious church, church with the same mind. This becomes important. And it's how we are minded towards one another, as it declares here, reciprocal. Phroneo is to exercise the mind, to have a sentiment or opinion, to be deposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction. So when Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, some versions say, set your affections on things above. Trying to describe that word. And to be thus minded, like, I want to be in church. Okay? You understand, I'm thus minded, and I'm not thinking here in this building, because I'm here when you're not here, and it's not really all that great. I mean, honestly, this is the building. But I want to be in church when the church gets together to worship. And I want to be in church when we're praying for one another. See? To be thus minded toward one another, or again, if you catch that, set your affections toward one another. It cannot be lopsided one way. This is mutual. So again, remember this whole thing of, we began this study about how can you take many members and make them one? Well, in Christ, and 12:3 addressed this same idea of the mind, and now we come back to it in 12:16 after the exhortation that in the church, when one is weeping, we weep with them. Right? When one is rejoicing, we rejoice with them. That's the lead-in to reciprocal, one with another. Thus minded, or setting your affections minded toward one another. And here's where things could go wrong, and that's why it's specific. All right, so at this point, Josiah, we need a new microphone. So after you listen to this in the study, come and talk to me. All right. There we go. All right, we'll see how that works out. Okay, so this place of that setting our affection and mind, is that where I was at? Anybody know what I was talking about? One with another. Be with one mind. Okay, you guys are very good help. All right. Now, in this place of how is in that next phrase, mind not high things. So when we consider this instruction of the Scripture, and I'm gonna cross-reference Scriptures, because this is not just in Romans 12. A little bit farther in the Romans study, this comes back up again in 15:5, and especially at a very important part, that God, the God of patience and comfort, or again, King James says consolation. So the Scriptures have the patience and comfort. God put it into the Scriptures. And God Himself, the God of all patience and comfort, grant you to be like-minded one toward another in Christ Jesus. So you come to this study in one in Christ, and you look at this, to be thus minded, of the same mind, one toward another. This is the work of God. This comes forth in the patience and comfort. It does not mean it happens automatically. In fact, our part to this is to be thus minded toward one another. Really is applied as we carry out the commands of Christ. Here, Paul writes to the church and he addresses high-mindedness, not mind not high things. The idea there of men of high degree or those that are the exalted ones. Mind not them. Don't mind your things on, I just want to be someone. Okay? I hear that from time to time. It says, but condescend to men of low estate. And I can look at that word condescend, and I'm thinking of that in English, but I went right to this, and I found this to be very wonderful, because the condescend in the Greek is used in other places, like to be carried away with. So if you look at that, we're to be carried away with the lowly and those who are low in their circumstances and situation. So, before I get too far out of sync with this study, right, this instruction, and I'm going to give you Philippians 2:2, because Paul writes this to the church, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love. And why I like this is because this, since it is a verb and since it's an object of the preposition, we almost think it's a noun, be of the same mind. Not realizing that what we're talking about, it's a transitive verb. It's a verb that describes how you are thinking and how you are thus having affections. This is action. Okay? You need to catch this. So in Philippians 2:2, which has the same conjugation in the plural, it's a nominative of the verb saying be ye like-minded, it helps us to hear this next phrase, having the same love. You know, so when you think about this mindedness, we're to have that same affection, thus thinking and minded towards, and I only know one way. So that's Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy by being like-minded. I only know one way, three verses later. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to humility. Now, an important one, again, is I think about this like-mindedness, and again, so you church with the same mind, so I'm answering it for us. Church, humble in mind. Church with humility. Church with lowliness of mind. Church with the cross. I'll introduce it to you right there. Church with I am thus minded, again, to esteem others better than myself. I'm thus minded that everyone who comes into church, they're one with me, and there's not any of this, I'm better than another. So onto that last part of that phrase, which says to be not wise in your own conceits. So that being carried away with those who are humble in their circumstance or those who are humble in their lives, be carried away with that. And listen, okay? Paul says it to the Philippian church. He says, there are those who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. He says there are those who do not deny themselves, do not carry the cross, and they go around higher than everybody else. We have all the example when Jesus would talk to the Pharisees. We hear him addressing those who are conceited in their own eyes. And it's important for us to see in Jesus' church that the instruction given here is to be carried away with the humble. We should seek out and then be thus minded to not just remember, but that's who I'm going to talk to today. I see someone new. I see someone in need. I see someone in their circumstance. It's again, this is not for us to think about those who are being exalted, but rather those that are going through it and are being humbled and going through trouble and to be thus minded. Like, what can I do? Right? Remember, comfort, right? Patience and comfort of the scriptures. The like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's his church. Now, what I want to take forth in this for us tonight, it's this. I call it church in the even place, which is a psalm, which we had a song that we sang from that. And what do you remember what psalm that is? You stand in the even place, your church will bless you, Lord. Your church will bless you, Lord. You don't know which psalm it is. It is a psalm, by the way. Now, here it is. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Same word as state. Jesus says, I am of low estate. Okay? This becomes important for us because church in the even place, who was beneath Jesus? So, when it says that he, this mind being you, which is in Christ, is though he being God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And when he came, he made himself of no reputation. So he leaves the glory of heaven, and some versions say he emptied himself. Because it's a very difficult word it's a powerful word to say how the Son of God, even though he's still God, when he became man, he emptied himself and he took the lowest. And so when he says, come unto me who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. That means that there's no one beneath him. Now, you ready for this? So then there's no one beneath his church. In describing that, to mind not the high things, but Jesus condescended to men of low estate. That's how he could go freely to all the places of wherever somebody was the off scarring, he could, and the leper comes and says, if you're willing, Lord, he's willing, and he touches him. You know, again, the idea that anyone would touch a leper, because the holy people wouldn't dare get themselves unclean. And you need to understand, our Lord is calling us to give it all. And I want a church like this, and when I say church in the even place, there's only one even place. Again, church with the cross. That's how I look at this. So you have a choice, right? He who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Here's Luke 1:52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Do you know who's going to be up front in heaven? I don't. But I know from the scriptures, the last will be first. Those of low degree, ones that we don't even know, just live their lives humble in Christ, like Christ. There's probably saints out there we don't even know about that are of low degree, that when they get there, they'll be exalted up front and like, it wasn't Billy Graham, wasn't Chuck Smith, Chuck always would say, he said, I've had all this in this life. He became well known. He says, I'm probably in the back row in heaven. Understood this. You know, and this part, this is his church. Even place, James says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. And then he describes that the rich and those of, again, implied high degree then would be humbled, that you might be one with each other. Now this phrase, that's the command which I introduced to you, be not wise in your own conceit. So only a couple of these come forth. This is imperative. And in order for this, you go through this whole thing, and this is the way it is in church. You're agreeing, okay, Lord, that's us, we want that. And now comes the command. And the command is, be not wise in your own conceits. I say maybe best expressed in a proverb, if you read a proverb a day. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil, Proverbs 3:7. Or this one from a couple days ago, Proverbs 26:12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope for a fool than of him. Now, we come to this as we wrap up again, and I don't intend to go real long tonight. And I'll just emphasize this, but church with brotherly love. Remember that. Church with brotherly love. Okay? Church having love without disguise. This is very important. Very important as we carry this forth. Church with humbleness of mind. Church in the even place. Church, right? Church that is not wise in their own eyes. Now, the word there for wise, we typically would say, I want to be wise. I want to know these things. I want this. I want to be wise. I want to be the one that knows. But this part here, again, in their own conceit, when you start saying to yourself, you know what, I'm really wise. I've learned a lot. I don't need this anymore. I don't need that anymore. Or worse yet, I don't need to listen to that person. I'm wiser than they are. Because the same understanding carries through the Proverbs, that a man who is wise in his own eyes, he can answer more than seven men who answer sensibly. Okay. This part, we need the wisdom from God. We need to know that which has come from Him. And so this instruction then to me is this, wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. James 3, wisdom from above is first of all pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, is sown in peace. Let's see if I got that in there. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and without partiality, without hypocrisy. And I think I don't have the next verse, sown in peace by those who make peace. 3:18. Now, when I lay this out for us, 17 through 21, very important. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Church without paybacks. Okay? Church without getting back at one another. This is important. Church without recompense. Recompense is, you did this to me, I do this to you. Okay? Or in other words, church with the teachings of Jesus. Isn't that just a radical concept that the church would actually follow the teachings of our Lord? When did our Lord teach that? Don't you love the 1-855 4 Truth and all their billboards? You realize we never had Christian billboards until about 10, 12 years ago. That's how I knew things were getting darker and darker, because we got to get these billboards shining there, right? And I love one of them. Real Christians, right, follow the teachings of Jesus. Well, the teachings of Jesus, I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Matthew 5:39. You hear it? His church, his way, recompense to no man evil for evil. Okay? See that you render, that none render evil for evil unto any man. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. Do you know that everything of the media is designed to get people opposed and hated and hating and upset at, I can't believe that, and let's get them back. Not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrawise blessing. This, his church, this genuine church is different than anything else. Recompense to no man, evil for evil. Church with honesty, where it says provide things honest. So you got church without. Church without payback. Church with honesty. Now, what do we have if we're not going to be honest with each other? Right? So this word honest is much more than what we would just say honest. It has with it that not just like we would think, well, that they told the truth. But rather, it's honesty that's rooted in this. The Greek word is kalos. It properly means beautiful. So when you think of honesty that's beautiful, it's not just honesty when you have to. It's just like, I have to be honest. I get phone calls at my day job, and it's a marketing call, and we don't really want to take a marketing call. But a lot of times they'll ask for the owner, or they'll have his name, and I say, well, he's not available right now. Well, can I leave him a message for him to call me back? Yes, I will give him the message. So guess what I do? Take the name and the number, and I go to my boss and say, this is from a telemarketer, right? And I said that I would give you the message, so here's the message. Right? I'm not saying you should call him back. I never say call back. I said, they called, there's the number. Whatever you do with that, that's up with you. Think about this in church. When we say providing things honest, that means that you can speak freely, because if you provide it honest and it's good and it's beautiful, literally good morally, good literally and morally, valuable, virtuous, for appearance use. Again, so you get this. It's like, that means that how we live our lives is to be honest in the sight of all. Now, if you think that you can or cannot be corrected, I think it's a good test to see that if someone does come and correct you over your actions, what do you do? 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says that ye may walk honestly toward them which are without. So, it's not real fun to be corrected or rebuked by one from without over like what you are not doing honestly. You get my point. We're told to walk honestly toward them or without. So you have church without getting back at one another, but you have church that is with honesty. Church that is with goodness, if you will. And in that going forth, 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Can you imagine all those that hated you, and because they're hating you, they're expecting you hate them, but instead you're secretly praying for them and loving them and secretly wishing that, God, would you get them to heaven? Can you imagine that? They find out on the day of their judgment or the visitation that they find out that you're the one who was praying to God to save their soul. That type of good work, that type of honesty, that type of what you see in Jesus, you see in me. Now, this is, I actually don't like it. I'm going to say it, but I don't like it when other people say it because it's too convicting. But this is how the church is to be in one and say, oh, you know a Christian? Well, if you know them, then you know me because I'm just like them. See? When that's convicting, would you know that if we provide things honest in the sight of all men, we're representing for all the life of Christ and say, if you know what I'm like, you meet me, and then when you meet another Christian, you should find the same honest goodness in them. And you see why I don't like that. I won't look at anybody right now at this point. Now, as we carry this forth, church without paying back one another, but church with honesty and goodness. And then in 18, I say church with possibility. Now, how do you hear possibility? We think more like, well, it may or may not happen. That's a possibility. That's kind of how I use the word. That's a possibility. Hey, you're going to come over this afternoon? That's a possibility. Do you know that that's not possibility? Right? Possible means if it's possible, if there's a way, I'm going to do it. See, we use like possibly as no, which is deceiving, right? Okay. See, this is that place where it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. So again, not about the other person, not about the circumstance. Have you not ever read your Bible in such a way where you're reading it and you know exactly what God wants you to do, but you say, but I've got this going on in my life. But you don't understand this, God. And we put in there, if we're not careful, we make something impossible that actually is to be for us possible. The Greek word dunatos, again, in its form before it's conjugated, dunatos, powerful, capable, literally or figurative, able, could, possible, power, strong. See, this type of genuine church, that church is with doing that which is possible. And frankly, what I found out, most in church don't ever go that far. Yeah, I'm out of here. That's too hard. Peaceable, yeah. I'm not going to pursue that relationship anymore. I'm not going to mend that. Yeah, there's nothing where you ever arrive at with any other person that says, all right, it's their fault and I'm not going to do anything about it. You know how many times that closes the door? Again, I hear it because I live that way. I go to people. I live that way in the body of Christ. And I say these things and I do those things. And so I know that when people say, well, and I hear this because I hear it secondhand, well, did you talk to Seth about that? No, you know how he is. Like, what? Oh, so what you're saying is, it's outside of you. I couldn't possibly live at peace with that person because you know how they are. You might as well throw away the Bible. We're told it has nothing to do with the other person, has everything to do with you. So not just church with possibility, or say church that can and will, with all power and strength, again, that which is within would live peaceably with all men. So I say church with peaceableness. That's the reality, church with peaceableness. So again, I put in parentheses there, because those that have been trained yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So if you catch this what the Spirit's teaching, and again, it's back to the teachings of Jesus. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves. Do you hear that? You understand that now. As much as possible, what lies in you, have salt in yourself. That's the meaning. You have this. It's in you. Now go do it. I mean, this part of why wouldn't we do Matthew 18 in our body if someone has sinned against you? Why wouldn't you, as much as depends upon you, work that, see it through to the end, as much as lies in you, to win your brother, to gain your brother, to forgive? Why wouldn't you do Matthew 18? Why wouldn't you get one or two others? Why wouldn't you have this matter heard out? Why wouldn't you work and get that sin out and receive one another and have that peace? Again, as much as lieth in you. So Jesus says, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. There really isn't like, well, you know what they're like. Or, I get fed up with the personality studies. I'm an extrovert, they're an introvert. Well, again, that's not biblical. We're all called, as much as lies within us, to live peaceably. Let's see, 1 Thessalonians 5:13. I like this one. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So you know what fun it is for a pastor to work on these arguments between and disagreements between body parts in the body of Christ? It's not fun at all. See, do you realize that we gain so much more when we're at peace among ourselves? And 1 Corinthians 6, again, I'll just lay it out. When I say 1 Corinthians 6, it's that we're never to take any of our disputes before the judges of this world. If you have a dispute, we do appoint those who will hear the matter out. Again, and so that part of yielding that and submitting to that, This is his church, as much as is possible. If it be possible, if there's any way and as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Work that out. Figure that out. Work out the forgiveness. None of us should be carrying bitterness. Okay? And especially in the ministry between Christians, again, how about this? Again, in 1 Corinthians 6, it is better for you to be wronged and forgive than to take this before unbelievers. How do we take it before unbelievers a lot of times? We complain. And then what they did to me. And that's what happens. See, this part, church with peaceableness. And then 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. So I like this church with and church without. Church without vengeance, if you will. Well, literally, church without vindication or retaliation. See, when Jesus says, when they strike you on the right cheek. Okay. Now, it may not be the literal, like, you know, hitting, but this is it. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Why can you turn the other cheek? Jesus went to the cross. Right? Why can you say, I will let God take care of this? Because Jesus went to the cross. If he didn't go to the cross where he judges sin and then the wrath of God is poured upon him for the sin of the world and he takes that and he forgives that sin and you realize this, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That's a key thing. Again, not believing in the wrath of God, then the church runs around, I've got to get this right. You can't treat me that way. That doesn't sound like Jesus going to the cross. Jesus before Pilate says, yeah, you can treat me that way. My paraphrase. Avenge not church without vindication or retaliation. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. And I'll emphasize here, church with, right, with God in his coming wrath. You know how important this is? Why can you forgive? But the other person didn't agree with me. The other person doesn't even think. The other person doesn't even, you hear we talk. I'll forgive them when they say they're sorry to me. This happens. This is not, this comes down to it. So when you say, avenge not, when you forgive, you're saying, I will no longer hold that person. I'm not the one to make sure that they know that they did what is wrong. I give room for the wrath of God. God, I trust you. God, we trust you to do right by every person. Lord, I forgive that person that hurt me deeply when I was a little kid. I forgive them for what they did to me. And you talk about how important this is, that church. I mean, you think about what we do, reach, teach, mend, send, and we talk about that mending. There's things that you don't even know are there that you're holding on, and it can be I will never. Again, I think of this. Some women grow up, again, harsh father, or maybe they see their mom beaten as, I will never let a man rule over me. Seriously. It happens. I will never, again, taking vengeance. They need to know what they did. Always looking for that opportunity. But it says, the church with giving place under wrath. Vengeance is the Lord's. It's not ours. Church without vengeance, because God has the vengeance. He repays. You know what happens when we repay? Which one of us would actually repay righteously, accurately? What happens when somebody gets you? Oh, they're going to get theirs, and then they're going to get some more. Oh, that if they think they can treat. See, we don't repay, and we never would repay. And I am so thankful for this because, I mean, my heart, man, I'd get back at them as I'd let them know that they can't do that ever again. So how do you do that to somebody that is, well, they did this to me. Well, they hit me. Well, I'm going to break their legs. And then they heal up their legs and they're going to come and break your head. I mean, it's just back and forth. But God's wrath will judge. God will correct. God will judge. Therefore, which we come to 20, and therefore, if thine enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Something like, again, church with real love for our enemies, church with, right, the teachings of Jesus, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. If he thirsts, give him a drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And then the last one, church with victory. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And we just take that one into the world right now. How many of us are like, oh, do you see all this evil? Do you know why? The only thing for evil to abound is for good men to do nothing. That's rooted in this verse. So what do? When we go forth and we do good and we overcome evil, and again, the church overcoming. Do you believe that the power of the Spirit of God is greater than the one who rules this world? We do the baptism with the Holy Spirit filling again tonight. What are you expecting to have happen? Do you think it's just some sort of like magical thing? Or do you really believe that the Spirit of God comes upon your life and then you go forth walking in the power of the Spirit and you actually have that fruit? And when you go out and you go out in that light and you go out in that power of the Spirit, that you can declare to others. And then the fruit of the Spirit and that goodness, that you actually can overcome evil. You can preach the gospel to those that are sinning. You can overcome that evil. So I say church with victory. Now, I'm going to go back and do this. This is how we close tonight. We're going to read Romans 12. We tried to have it memorized. Right? So who's going to memorize 12:5 so we don't get stuck next time? You're going to take 12:5. All right. Or should we try it again now from memory? Or should we just read it? Who said that? Which version? Okay. Read it? All right. All right, you'll have it memorized next week. There you go. Hey, the kids, children's ministry, I'm not saying, but what they're doing over there, they're memorizing whole chapters. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, it's been our desire and to be thus minded together with one another that you would fulfill what you desire here, that you could have a church that's yours and that we could be genuine and glorious because you washed us in the water of the word. Lord, we studied this and we prayed it and now we come back and Lord, would you write this on our hearts and change us forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.